Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." We'll read the proverb again. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." You see, if you had the choice of making more money and blemishing your name to do it, or being satisfied with less money and maintaining a good name, what would you do? I mean, you may not be able to answer that question right off the top of your head. You might have to think about it. You might even want to clarify it and say, well, how much money are you talking about? And I'll tell you frankly, it wouldn't make any difference to me how much money you're talking about. There's no amount of money that, according to the Bible, is more important than a good name and more important than loving favor. It is better to maintain a good name and forget the money. A lot of men compromise their names, lose their integrity and reputation because they do something wrong in order to make more money, and then they're found out later. These insider stock transactions, these corporate executive scandals have made this proverb preeminent in the minds of people today. CEO scandals, treasurer scandals, politicians and their scandals, lobbyists and their scandals. It's all about, I think I can get away with this and I probably won't get caught, but I can't resist the money. Then they get caught, you find out who they are, you find out what they did, and forever their name is tainted with that. And God says it's better to keep the good name and loving favor and forget the great riches and the silver and gold that would attract you to ruin your name. When you think of names and you think of a fellow named Scrooge, he's the character who earned a bad reputation because he was more concerned with his money than with his name. And forever, the name Scrooge is the name of a miserly old man that would rather have the money than the name. Now, in the Bible, it's easy to find the application of this proverb. You can see it over and over again. We'll look at several names of men whose names are bad names. And we'll look at several names of men and women whose names are good names. Because simply when presented with the opportunity to choose money over the name, they always chose the name. Now listen, when we look at this, it all boils down to what is important to God. How much money you make is not as important to Him as a good name and loving favor. I recognize that your name will sometimes come into criticism as you try to do something for the Lord. You can't help it. You can't avoid criticism if you're working for the Lord. Paul was criticized. Jesus Christ was criticized. Moses was criticized. Elijah was criticized. They were doing something for God and caused some friction, and their name came into disfavor with the people against whom they were preaching. You can't avoid that. But their name did not come into disfavor because they were after a buck. Their name came into disfavor because they were serving the Lord and would not compromise. Never compromise the truth just to make yourself look good. Never. But when it comes to money and your name, forget the gold and silver and protect that name. Many a preacher today has fallen into disfavor. Why? Because he wanted out of the ministry. What he wanted out of the ministry was money, and he did something wrong to get it. And thus he destroyed his name. You hear that all the time. I was talking to a fellow just the other day, and I asked him, I said, I'm glad you're coming here. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm glad that you're, you know, attending, and I pray that we're giving you something from the Bible that's going to help you to grow, but frankly, why did you leave the place where you were? He said, I just got sick and tired of being badgered to death for the money. And the guy that's behind the pulpit is going to get the money. But you know, what's happened is that his name now, I'm talking about the preacher, his name is associated with his fundraising techniques and his desire for money. He's fallen into disfavor with some folks. You know, you're better dying penniless like Paul and Jesus and ending up right than dying like a man like Ahab because you swindled somebody for a buck. Now let's look in the Bible. We'll look at 5 and 5. We'll look at 5 characters in the Bible who let money get to them, and then they ruin their names. And then we'll look at 5 folks in the Bible who were given the opportunity but did not let money get to them because they know something. The love of money is the root of all evil. It is. And that's not going to change. All right, first on the list of our bad guys. We'll get the bad guys out of the way first. First on the list, turn to John chapter 12. Look at verse 3. John chapter 12 and look at verse 3. This one, if you sat down and thought for a while, now who do I know in the Bible that did something bad for money that destroyed his name when he did it? You'd come up with this guy probably within the first 3 names that you came up with. John chapter 12, verse 3. We're talking about none other than Judas Iscariot. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. What was Judas Iscariot's problem? Among other things, the love of money. You see, when Judas Iscariot was given the opportunity to choose between staying with his Savior or making a little more money off of a deal that was already going to go down anyway, he opted to take the money and didn't risk with the other disciples fleeing at the capture of Jesus. He just said, I'll just take the money. He's determined to go to the cross anyway. And he sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. You know what he did? He earned for himself a bad reputation, a terrible name, and he lost favor with everybody. You know, when you look around and you think of people who are named, you don't find people named Judas. Why? It's a bad name. That name has fallen into disfavor all around the world. That's no longer a good name. It's a bad name, a destroyed name. Why? Because when he had the choice between protecting his name and his reputation and his integrity and his character, he chose rather to swindle for the money. And he let it out of his mouth the night that Jesus Christ was being anointed before his burial. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He didn't care for the poor. He was a thief. He had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now, is that what you'd do? You know there are a lot of people that swindle the Savior, hold out on him, keep back that which is his. That's a bad name, bad favor. All right, let's look at another one. This one you might also come up with when you were thinking about the names of people who did something with money that was, you know, that earned them a bad reputation. His name is Ananias. We can include with him his wife, Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira together are bad names. Acts chapter 5. I knew a fellow named Ananias. He was a cowboy. He was a good man. I know another fellow in the Bible named Ananias. He's the one that came to Paul, you know, when he was still called Saul, and anointed him and baptized him, you know, so that the scales fell off of his eyes. That guy. So Ananias is a name that can go both ways. But in the context of Acts chapter 5 and in the context of his wife Sapphira, the names together are bad names. Ananias and Sapphira always conjures up in your mind. A man who made a deal with his wife privately that they would sell a possession and pretend that the amount that they gave to the apostles for the distribution amongst themselves was the full amount of the sale of the possession, when in fact it was only a part of the amount. And they did it to pretend to be as spiritual as another fellow who had just given a great sum of money from the sale of a possession. They wanted to be like him. They wanted to be noted for their spirituality. Yet they were keeping back a part of the possession. Peter said to Ananias after this was all discovered, he said, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. They buried him. Later on, his wife came in. Peter asked her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yeah, for so much." "Liar." Then Peter said, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And then she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Why? Because they knew that God did not like fakers, ones that would pretend to have given a great gift to get recognition to themselves when in fact they were keeping back part of the price. Bad name, bad move. What'd they do it for? They destroyed their names. They destroyed their favor with the congregation because they wanted to keep back part of the money. They could have done it if they hadn't lied about it. They could have just said, "Look, we sold this possession for $1,000 and we're going to keep $250 and we're going to give the congregation $750. There would have been no problem with that. The problem came when they pretended that $750 was all they got for the $1,000 possession. You'll destroy your name in a thing like that. You know, there are a lot of people that do that kind of stuff around the Lord's business. Let's look at another one. You have to go back into the Old Testament for this one, 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 4. And this one would pertain to a fellow who had the opportunity to do something for God's man and wouldn't do it. Has God ever indicated to your heart that you ought to do something for somebody and then you decided you wouldn't do it because of whatever reason you held back on the thing? And then you thought evil of the person who needed the funds? Nabal. Bad name. N-A-B-A-L. Nabal. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 4. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity." He's a rich man. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was a rich man. "Peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel." In other words, they were able to graze the land in the area where David kept his men and his sheep, and nobody bothered them at all. They free-ranged it and moved on to the next place. And because they took care of Nabal and his men, the young men approached Nabal and asked thy young men, and they will show thee wherefore let thy young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not which they be? So David's young man turned away and went again and came and told him, that is David, all those sayings. Nabal was a fool. As a matter of fact, his own wife Abigail said that's what he was. The reason that Nabal was a fool is that Nabal was given the opportunity to take care of God's man. And David's men had taken good care of Nabal's men. So there was almost like an indebtedness there that Nabal should have given him a little something. But he wouldn't do it. Even Abigail said to David, let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. You know what Nabal means? Fool. That's what it means. Abigail said, I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. So she took him a gift. She took him some provision. Nabal is a bad name. Why? Given the opportunity to help God's man and impressed upon by God to do so. He withheld the gift. David was going to kill him. Bad name. Means a fool. Listen, never sell the Lord Jesus Christ out for a buck. Never withhold what is rightfully his. And when he impresses upon you by the Spirit of God to do something for one of his men, do it. Never let that covetous heart of yours deny you the opportunity to be a blessing when God wants you to be. Let's look at another one. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Won't read the whole chapter to you, but a couple of other bad names. These are ones that you would recognize right away from the Old Testament. If I said to you, who was the wickedest king that Israel ever had? You should jump right on it. His name is Ahab. And he was married to a woman named Jezebel. Oh, yeah, you say, I remember Jezebel. Yeah, you do. And Ahab, the wickedest king that Israel ever had. Manasseh was the wickedest king that Judah ever had. Ahab was the wickedest king that Israel ever had. Ahab decided that he wanted a vineyard from a fellow named Naboth, and he said to Naboth, I want the vineyard. I'll trade you for it. I'll buy you. Whatever you want to do. And Naboth said, no, this is my inheritance. This is my vineyard. And I'm not gonna sell it to you. So Ahab told Jezebel. Jezebel sent letters out, proclaimed a fast, and got the townspeople together and two elders of the city, or two witnesses in the city, said that Nabal blasphemed God. So they drug him outside of town and killed him. And then Jezebel went to Ahab and said, you can have the vineyard now. Naboth is dead. Ahab and Jezebel, given the opportunity to choose between a good name and loving favor and gold and silver, Ahab and Jezebel said, oh, money, 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 more money. The vineyard. And went so far as to kill to get it and destroyed their names. Ahab, bad name. Jezebel, bad name. Satan is a bad name. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. In pursuing riches and merchandise, he destroyed his name. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, verse 3. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Satan, what? Interested in more money? Gold, silver, treasures, increased riches. And God said, you'll do you in. You don't find anybody named Satan. Nobody's naming their kid Satan. Why? Terrible name. Why? Motivated by money to do anything wrong to get more. And that may be description of you. And if it is, you're acting like the devil. You're acting like Judas Iscariot. You're acting like Nabal. You're acting like Ahab and Jezebel. Cut it out. Cut it out. Your name will survive to your children. Your name will be held by your widow. Make sure it's a good name and leave them in good favor. Those are bad people. Now, there are other people in the Bible These folks didn't let money get to them because they knew the love of money was the root of all evil. Jesus, that's a great name. Jesus is a great name. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, when we find that he had the choice between money or total humility so that he could redeem mankind, he chose redemption. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus is a great name, a wonderful name, the greatest name of all. But there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. Barnabas is a good name, a tremendous name. This is the man that Ananias and Sapphira tried to emulate, but they had to cheat in order to do it and lost their reputation and favor with God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, whose by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas is a great name. Oftentimes when you hear preachers preach on characters, they'll preach on Barnabas because he was the son of consolation. He's a great man, a great name, and was always in good favor with God and people. Paul is a good name. When given the choice between money and the ministry, when given the choice between padding his own pockets and doing something for somebody else, Paul always chose the other man. Acts chapter 20. He always did. Listen, Paul, because he was an apostle, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, was given the ministry, and therefore he was given the opportunity to live of the ministry, but he didn't do it. In cases there were churches that took care of him, but in cases where he thought he might compromise the gospel, he never would take a dime from them, like with the church in Corinth. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 33, Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Listen, that doesn't sound like a lot of preachers today. A lot of preachers today do covet a man's silver and do covet a man's gold and do covet a man's apparel. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, Paul said. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So he not only took care of himself, but he took care of the folks that were traveling with him. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul said, I'm going to pattern myself after that. And so he joined the ranks of Jesus Christ in that he allowed himself to maintain poverty. In essence, he was content whether he was abased or whether he abounded in order to be able to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is a good name. Anna, the prophetess, is a great name, Luke chapter 2. She was a widow, but, you know, instead of going out and trying to just make herself a big living all the time, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ had been presented in the temple, and Anna was waiting. And so she was not compelled just to be chasing money. She was there, and when she had the opportunity, she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There's your man right here, she said. These folks didn't let money get to them, and thus they continue to have to this day a good name and good favor with men. Anna is a good name. Ruth is a good name. Ruth is a good name. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 2 and look at verse 2. We'll continue. You know, we could just look and look and look at all kinds of people here, but I think you're getting the point. If you have allowed your object to become the accumulation of more wealth, and prosperity, so that the idea of coveting more wealth has consumed you, and you're of the mentality that you must prosper in order to prove the blessings of God in your life, and you're willing to compromise a good name and loving favor to step on somebody else's head to get ahead, you've made a terrible mistake. You've made a terrible mistake. You destroy your name. But if you, being tempted by that, have decided, you know what, I'm not going to chase after that thing like that. I'm going to be the good guy. I'm going to take less just to make sure that people understand that I'm not after that buck. You've preserved your name. You've preserved loving favor. And you've left your wife and your children something, if you should predecease them, that will be of great value to them, greater than an estate. Ruth chapter 2. Poor old Ruth had to follow her mother-in-law back to Israel. And she said to her mother-in-law, let me go now into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So she ends up with a near kinsman. In verse 11, Boaz knows her. It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She wasn't interested in sticking around to find another husband or get more money. She wanted to stay with her mother-in-law and was willing to just pick up little crumbs of leftover harvest in order to feed her family. In chapter 4, verse 15, after Boaz has married Ruth and they have a child, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. That, my friend, is a good name. Listen, forget the extra money. Keep a good name.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.